Yeah, I guess so. I don't want it to fall off. Okay.
Thank you.
I'd like to begin by making a suggestion that I don't know if it's revolutionary or not, but I'd like to make the suggestion that the Viduyim on Yom Kippur Bechlal, whether it's the Viduyim of Erev Yom Kippur all the way through Ne'ilah, are different in a certain fundamental sense, in that no one has the right to wait for Yom Kippur to do tshuva. The Rambam in the 7th Perek of Hilchos Tshuva speaks about the famous Gemara, Shuv Yom Echad Lefnei Misoscha, and the Rambam says that a person should always feel Keilu Hu Noita Lomus. But even that's because you don't want Chas V'Shalom that there should ever be a possibility that a person should leave this world without Tshuva. That idea is very similar to the Yom Kippur idea, especially according to the famous Ramban, that there's a vidui that anticipates Yom Kippur. Right before Yom Kippur, a person has to enter Yom Kippur betara. Misa is his man of kapara, and Misa and Yom Kippur is his man of kapara. There's an idea that you enter into kapara betara. You enter into the Olam HaEmes betara, you enter into Yom Kippur betara, because the days, the Lifnei Hashem Titaru, is a special mechayiv. But it's not the mechayiv of tshuva itself. The Rambam, when he speaks about the importance of the Asara Yomim, he doesn't really differentiate between Rosh Hashanah, the other days, and Yom Kippur itself. It's a zman of tefillah and tachnunim because of the gzeira and the chasimas hadin. There's a chasimas hadin on Yom Kippur, there's a chasimas hadin, the person dies. In that respect, there's a very big tzad hashava that a person has to do tshuva. But that's not the regular mechayev of tshuva. The chayev of tshuva that the Rambam learns from Vizvadu, whether it is a mitzvah tshuva, it's not a mitzvah tshuva like the Minchas Chinuch. It's just a kiyum, it's a pu'ula. You do tshuva in order to accomplish something, but like you give a get when you want to finish with your wife. But it's not a mitzvah, you're not mechuyev to give a get. Of course, L'chayre Tshuva is a chiyuv, and it's such a chiyuv that maybe the Torah doesn't even have to say it explicitly, because how could a person be distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? But be that as it may, what I'm driving at is this. A person is mechuyuv to do Tshuva the second that he does an Aveira. Ideally, a person should not do an Aveira. That's L'chayre correct. But if a person does an Aveira, then he's mechuyuv to do Tshuva right away. Vizvadu is chatosa. There's no such concept as waiting for Yom Kippur, just like there's no such concept as waiting. If Lu Yitzuyu, you knew the day before a person would depart from the world, he still wouldn't be able to wait. The halacha is that you're mechuyev to do tshuva right away. So what's the pshat? The pshat is that there are zmanei kapara, and there are karbonos of kapara, and in association with those zmanei kapara or karbonos of kapara, there's a concept of vidui. There's a concept of vidui and tshuva, because tshuva, vidui without tshuva doesn't mean anything. It's taivu v'sheretz biyada, doesn't mean a thing. So if a person is doing tshuva in the kapara concept of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, that whole tkufa, which leads to Yom Kippur's kapara, and bringing a korban in the Beis HaMikdash, or in the event of a person's departing from this world, which is also a moment of kapara, a moment of din, of judgment, so in preceding that judgment, the person has to be betara. But there's a separate halacha entirely of doing tshuva, and that is because a person should be free from sin. There's no such concept as waiting for Yom Kippur. And I don't mean waiting for Yom Kippur, I'll do averus and I'll say Yom Kippur is mechaper. That's not what I mean. I mean that the whole havana is that the tshuva idea is only shayach to Yom Kippur. Of course it's not. And I think, furthermore, that's not a chiddush, but what my chiddush is that on Yom Kippur and the viduyim of Yom Kippur are unique. In what way? Be'emesin is, there's really no pirut hachet. the fundamental vidui, avol anachnu chatanu, that's as general as you could possibly get. There's no more general statement than avol anachnu chatanu, and that's considered sufficient. In the b'diyeved shebidiyeved, avol anachnu chatanu, avol means indeed. The Rav used to say this over and over. He had a hanoa in saying that avol doesn't mean but. It means avol, like avol hashemim anachnu, bekushta, the Targum says, indeed, for sure, truly, we have sinned. In other words, there's no questions, if, ands, or buts, we have sinned. So how can avol anachnu chatanu be good if the idea of tshuva is you have to be mefarit the chait? You know, so there's aziva sachait, and part of that is an inyan of pirut hachait. You have to say what you did wrong. I would imagine that b'chlal, if a person doesn't say what he did wrong, then I don't know how much of an aziva sachait there could be. You know, it takes a lot of time to do tshuva. It's an avoida. Tshuva is an avoida. So why do I say there's no pirut hachait? Well, let's take a look. Look at our davening, ashamnu, there's no pirut hachait. In fact, the same chayodim that we'll speak about in a moment, the tefillah zaka, so the chayodim says explicitly that all these words are generic and they are descriptions of Klal Yisrael when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at them, when he's not happy with Bnei Yisrael. And in fact, he shows, in his list of ashamnus, he does two things. Number one, he shows which pasuk the word comes from. In all these letters of the Aleph Beis, ashamnu, bagadnu, gazalnu, dibarnu, dofi. And how it is that Hashem describes Bnei Yisrael as such people who are medaber dofi, who are goes gazlonim, etc. And then he says, since there is no pirut hachait, I'm going to give you a pirut. So under Aleph, he says, Ochalnu macholos asuros, and Ochalnu below bracha, and on and on and on, you know. Below bracha tchila b'self, and bogadnu the same, etc., etc. So there's no pirut achet in Hashamnu. So you'll tell me, okay, there's no pirut achet in Hashamnu, but there is pirut achet in Achet Shekotan Lufanecha. So the truth of the matter is, there is no pirut achet in Al-Chayt, because Al-Chayt, there's no statement that we have sinned. Ashamnu is a verb that's one word, but it's a whole sentence. Ashamnu, it's in the plural, but we have sinned in the category of Ashem. We have sinned in the category of Begida. We have sinned in the category of speaking idle, foolish, Lashon Haradika kind of speech. So it's a full sentence, and the sentence is a statement, I have done an Avera. In Al-Chayt Shechatanu Lufanecha, there is no verb in that phrase, Al-Chayt Shechatanu Lufanecha. Chatanu Lufanecha is a description of the Chayt. It's not what I did. Of course, you're not going to say Al-Chayt if there was no Chayt. So of course it's Shechatanu Lufanecha in a certain inyan. But it's not the same as saying, I have done this. It's not a declarative statement, I have done this. So what is it? Where's the verb? Where's the verb in Al-Chayt? Stam, I mean, it's almost Yom Kippur. It's the day before Yom Kippur. Tomorrow we're going to be Mizvada already. Erev Yom Kippur. So what are we saying? What's the verb? The answer is, we collect a whole bunch of Al-Chayt, whatever the reason is that we make that collection, where we stop. Al-Chayt she'chtanu l'fanecha b'yeitzah hara, Al-Chayt she'chtanu l'fanecha b'yoidim v'lo yoidim, and then Va'al kulam elokas lichos, slachlonu, mechalonu, kaperlonu. So what are we doing? It's bakoshas kapora. That's what al-chayt is. Al-chayt is bakoshas kapora. It's not a statement, I have sinned. You see the difference between the two very clearly. And it's only the combination of ashamnu plus al-chayt that works. Because otherwise we never say that we sinned. Bechlal. Just a simple declarative statement. I have done an avera. Where is all of this borrowed from originally? The Kohen Gadol B'Yom HaKippur. Now, in the Kohen Gadol B'Yom HaKippur, there's also no Pirut HaChet. Because he's speaking for all of Klal Yisrael. Every Shulich Tzibur can't be a Pirut HaChet, because everybody's Chatoim are different, and he's speaking for everyone in Klal Yisrael. In a certain sense, he represents the Kohen Gadol, as is mentioned many times. So, if that's the case, what did the Kohen Gadol say by his vidui? All right, so there are several viduyim for himself and his family, for the Kohanim, for Klal Yisrael. But what did he say? So the answer is, he said, Ana Hashem, chotasi avisi pashati lefanecha. That equivalent is Hashamnu, bagadnu, gazalnu. And then on a bashem, the Rav used to talk a lot about that, with a base, not on a Hashem twice, but on a bashem, with the koach of the Shem Hashem, whatever it is, kaperna, lachatoyim, v'avoynis, v'abshoyim, shechotu, v'shavu, v'shapashu, amcha Yisrael. That's Bakoshas Kapora. So where is our equivalent of Chotosi Avisi Pashaiti, Ashamnu Bogadnu Gozalnu? Where's the equivalent of Ana Bashem Kaperna? Val Kula Meloi Kaslicha Slachlanu Kaperlanu Al Chet Shechtonu Vlecho This, Al Chet Shechtonu Vlecho That. But that's not the etzem a statement of Chotosi Avisi Pashaiti. It's already by Bakoshas Kapora. And generally, if you look at the list or the requirements of Vidui in Tshuva Ba'alma, Tshuva Ba'alma is Aziv HaSachet, Chagot L'Sho'ava, Kabbalah La'abo, Ve'ini Shov L'Kis, you know, L'Dov HaZe'oid, V'yoid Olov L'Yedei HaTalumis, She'ino Shov L'Kis L'Yoid. It's no din of Bakoshas Kapora per se. So the idea of Bakoshas Kapora is in Yemei Kapora. And it's a din in the Kapora that I have to ask for Kapora. But it's not the Etzem, the regular Tshuva. So when a person is davening on Yom Kippur, he has a dilemma in a certain sense. Because at what point did he ever say, Ribbono Shel Olam, I did this particular Aveira? Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, I was, let's pick something that's relatively neutral. Ribbono Shel Olam, I ate certain vegetables and I was hungry, and I really wasn't concerned that much whether there are bugs or there are not bugs. And so I didn't look for a hechsher that guarantees that it was cleaned and prepared properly to be completely free of bugs. And I didn't want to bother checking the bugs, and I ate it anyhow. And I might have been over on all kinds of isurim of shrotzim, and could be that there could have been 100 bugs there. And when does a person ever do tshuva specifically for that? So if we never do averus, I had a grandfather that looked at the al-chait, the list. He said, you know, most of this, none of this has anything to do with me. So why do I say it b'chlal? Because it's in the ma'azer, you know. If it's in the ma'azer, you should say it, you know. Like, you know, you have to be a good Jew, you have to say all the words. But it doesn't have anything to do with me. So if we are like that, so then, you know, okay, fine. But otherwise, we're really missing, you know, that aleph beis of tshuva. And it's like an amazing thing. You know, you go into... You know, so we say a lot of slichas. We get up early, we say it late at night, whatever it is, bashmeres habayka, then tzalayla. So we say very nice. I mean, we say Hashem, Hashem, kerachum mechanun over and over again. And slichas are full of all kinds of statements. Remember the akedah, to get rid of the goyim, who make us so many tzaras, or turn them around, and bring Mashiach. All kinds of things going on in the slichas. But in the final analysis, when exactly did we do tshuva? When did we do tshuva? Plain and pashut. I have a list of things. I need to fix myself. So the answer, first of all, is that nobody has any right to wait for Yom Kippur. Not because Chas v'Shalom, Eina to Yodeya Masa Yomus. Simply, there's a chiyuv to do tshuva right away. Why should a person tarry? The Rambam says that a person who didn't do tshuva is meruchak, meshukot, tayeva. Why should a person want to be in such a matzah? And v'hayoyim, ohu v'nechmat karu v'yedid. So, of course, I mean, that's what I want. Person's neshama is desperate to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when it's not, it's in chaos. That's why people have a lot of confusion in their lives, because the neshama is at odds with itself. It's in a prison, it's in a cage, and it's desperate to go out. So if that's the case, there's avad gebis achiv to do tshuva right away. So in Yom Kippur, there's an inyan of betara, and then the Ramban comes up with this very, very, what he thinks is a very basic idea. That when the Chazal said that he's supposed to eat Shema Yechonik Nesuda, whatever the reason would be that a person has to do Vidui on Erev Yom Kippur before the Suda, that's because of a problem that he has, but it's not the fundamental idea. The fundamental idea is that he enters Yom Kippur Betara. So therefore, he has a need to do a vidui before he eats if chalila something goes wrong, because after that he won't be able to do anything. But avade after he ate, and he's okay, he's mechuyev to say a vidui in anticipation of Yom Kippur, And that's the main vidui. So the vidui that the Ramban recommends, we don't have such a vidui, because we daven mincha before we eat, and after the Suda Mafsekas we go to shul. So many say, many suggest, that both the Sfardim and the Ashkenazim have something that is the equivalent of the vidui that the Ramban insists upon, and that is for the Ashkenazim what we call the Tefillah Zaka, and for the Sfardim they have a number of piyutim which do something similar, each Eda according to their own. So where did this Tefillah Zaka come from is a big discussion, and there's a whole question of why some kehilos don't say the Tefillah Zaka. They don't say anything at all. They just go right into Kol Nidre. Others say something else, but not the Tefillah Zaka. Why not? So some suggested that the Tefillah Zaka has, just we spoke about Pirut HaChet. The Tefillah Zaka has a lot of Pirut HaChet. The Tefillah Zaka has a very extensive list in the description of what the person says he did wrong. And in that very extensive list, there are some very graphic expressions. Very graphic. In the Inyonim of Arayas and Va'abizrayu. And a lot of the Hasidish world did not want that a person who's mizvada and says the Tefillah Zaka, especially young people and single people, because they felt that it was actually kind of like a boomerang. Don't remind people of these Inyonim, because while they're talking about doing tshuva, they might even actually have hirhurim roim. Or that it's just overwhelming, or whatever. But they didn't want to mention these things explicitly. You'll see in the Tefillah Zaka over and over again, it's not once or twice, he just chazes it over and over. Hatzah Zera Levatoa and all of these things, even Baalti Bilas Asuris, and some say, well, what if he wasn't Baal Bilas Asuris? So they say maybe in a previous Gilgul. It's a very interesting. The whole topic is very fascinating. But Lemaisa, there were some people who didn't do it because of that, and other people didn't do it for another reason, because they felt that it came from the Sefer Chemdas HaYomim, a great deal of the Tefillah Zaka, which the Chayodim adapted. And the Chemdas HaYomim was a Sefer that at times and in different places was suspect because of Sabbatean tendencies or expressions. The truth of the matter is there are very many Choshev Esfarim that quote the Chemdas HaYomim without any hesitation, and Lemaisa, the whole Litvisha world, basically says the Tefillah Zaka, it's printed in the Mazorim, and it was something that in Litin, Vilna, where I come from, where my parents came from, it was a given that you say the Tefillah Zaka. Now, of course, before we go into some of the Inyonim of the Tefillah Zaka, which is the brunt of my shiur, I just wanted to make one thing clear. There are a few other issues with the Tefillah Zaka itself for those who say it. And number one, when do you say it? So everybody's very busy and everybody ends up coming to shul late. And we have a problem not just with the Tefillah Zaka, we have a problem with Kol Nidre. Because Kol Nidre ideally should be said when? Before Shkia. Why? Because it's Hataras Nedarim. Hataras Nedarim really has no place on Yom Kippur. It's Hataras Nedarim for the sake of Yom Kippur, because it has to do, after all, if we're speaking and using words, Yomim V'Laila, a whole day, that's all we have. Neshama Parim Sfaseinu. We don't have the Avodah, we don't have the Kohen Gadol, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have the Big Day Lovin, and we don't have the Chamish Tvilas Nasari Kiddushim. So what do we have? We have words. So we have to tell the Ribbon Shalom our words matter. But in any case, it's Hataras Nedarim, it should happen before the Shkia. Now, what about the Tefillah Zaka? So if it's the Ramban, then also before the Shkia. And furthermore, there's something in the Tefillah Zaka which is Mekabel Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. And if the Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, even if it's before the Shkia, you can't be Matan Nedarim either. So they did all sorts of things. Some places they say Kol Nidre before the Tefillah Zaka, and accomplish both of them before the Shkia. In other places, they say the Tefillah Zaka after the Shkia, and Kol Nidre even after that. And Shalom al Yisrael. You know. But probably with the justification that maybe we don't paskin like the Ramban, and maybe the Tefillah Zaka isn't just because of the Ramban's idea, but it's a good way to start Yom Kippur. And they justify the Kol Nidre because it's necessary for Yom Kippur, so that, you know, it's a different kind of Hataras Nedarim. etc., etc. Then there's another problem, and that is that it's very long, and people sometimes, the chazan starts, and they stop their tefillah zakah abruptly in the middle, and the tefillah zakah seder was originally bein adam lamakom, and then bein adam lechaveiro. So they felt that since you have to be mevakish mechila and be moichel others so that they don't have to be mevakish mechila, which is not a simple topic, it's a big arichus dvarim whether that's true. Because after all, every night a person is meichel everybody, so why is it such a big deal to go ask everybody mechila before Yom Kippur? They're already meichel me. Amech kulam tzadikim, everybody's meichel everybody when they go to sleep. So the Teretz says, because you need to be mefayis, the other person. The summary mechila, even if it's totally genuine, on the part of the nivga, does not necessarily potter the pogeya. Because maybe he has to go through the process of confronting the nivga and asking him mechila personally. Be that as it may, there was a movement, and in fact, the Sam say that the Chafetz Chaim was encouraging this, that the text of the tefillah zakah should be switched, so that the Ben Adam Chaveros come first, so that at least you take care of that, because Averu should Ben Adam Chavero, Ein Yom HaKippur Mechape Achi Eratze Eschaveh. The Riaf, the Rabbi Yoshio Pintoy in the Ein Yaakov, says something revolutionary. He says that when it says Ein Yom HaKippur Mechape, it means Bechlal. In other words, if a person is not taking care of his Ben Adam Chavero, he has no Kaparis Yom HaKippurim even on the Ben Adam Lamokam. That's very scary, and Baruch Hashem, most people don't agree with the Riaf. But Lamaisa, there is a sheet or a derech to say the Bein Adam Lachaveiro before the Bein Adam Lamokom. If a person opens up the Tefillah Zakah and he asks himself, so what did he do? Did he just say, there's a vidui, you know the structure is a vidui? And so we talk about it. So you'll see an amazing thing. The brunt of the Tefillah Zakah has a thesis. There's an idea that he has. And the idea is that the Chelkei HaGuf are borrowed for the sake of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the same way that if somebody would borrow a violin and then turn around because he has to hang up a painting, so he would take the back of the violin and bang in the nail, he would be performing a terrible pshia. In the same way, a person whose hands were meant to be Isaac in the mitzvahs, whose feet were meant to run after a mitzvah, to run to the Beis HaKnesset, to run to the Beis HaMedrash, whose mind or imagination was meant to think in Divrei Torah, etc., etc., whose mouth was meant to say Dvarim Shel Kedusha, to say Brachos, and on, when they are used in ways that violate the Torah, it's the same as banging the nail with the violin. In other words, the brunt of the Tefillah Zakah is Ribbono Shel Olam Barasa Bi Yodayim Aglayim Iznayim Rashi Gviya, etc., etc., etc. And Timesi Osam, I use them for all the wrong things. But it's not. I think because I did something bad to them. It's because I didn't justify them. In other words, in the same way, for example, that a person's not allowed to take his own life because you don't own your life. You don't own your Evarim either. So the idea of what the Ribbono Shel Olam gave me, the tools at my disposal, extend to all the different chalokim that make me who I am physically. And I need to justify them at all times. And that justification is the central theme of the vidui of the Tefillah Zakah. Let me read to you a few lines just to make the point, which you probably know already, but just to make the point. Barasa bi pevaloshon vishinayim vechech vegoroin vinosata bahem koyach ledaber bahem hei moitzois haisiois hakadoshim shalalof beis asher bahem barasa shamayim veoretz umloyom ובהם ערקת תורסך הקדושה. ובכוח הדיבו הבדלת סעודה מן הבהמה, ואפילו כי בהמה לא הייסי, כי תימי סיפי בדברי נבולה בלשון הרע, בשקורים לצונס וחילוס מחלויקס, מל בפני חברוי, מקלולס חברוי, מסקאבד בפני חברוי, דברי מס ומתם בשבס ויומתם בשבועס ונדורים. ורוסה לי ידיים וחוש המישוש לעסק בהם במצווס, ואני תימי סי עצמי במשמושם של איסו להקריס באגוף ראשה, באגוף ראשה, to be a ראשה and hit people, ולהורים יד להקריס את ישראל, לטלטל דבורים המוקצים בשבס ויומתם, ורוסה בי רגליים, and אני תימי סי עושם ברגליים אמר ישראל וצלורו, instead of going לכל דבר מצווה, ורוסי בי ראש הגביע וחסמת באויס בריס קודש, ליאויס עבד נמן לבידוסך, ואני תימי סי סי בצע עזר לבטולו, בקלי להקריס עצמי לדעס, and on and on. That's what I told you before, that it's very graphic, and not once, but twice or three times he speaks about it. I think the word Hatzazel of Atola mentioned at least four times in the whole of the Tefillah Zaka. I had an idea that, you know, the Rav used to say over and over again that the Psukei D'Zimra that we say, and the enlarged Psukei D'Zimra that we say on Shabbos and Yom Tov, they have a Hagdoma and they have a Chasima. They have two brachas, Tchila v'Soif, and of course they're totally connected with the Psukei D'Zimra in the center. That's why the Yishtabach brocha at the end does not have a psicha, because it functions as a brocha asmuch l'chaverta. There's all of these mizmorim in between, so how could you say it's a brocha asmuch l'chaverta? The answer is no, there's a certain concept of brocha asmuch l'chaverta that when you have what you might call a sandwich, so the two slices of bread on both sides with the piece of cheese in the middle form a sandwich. In the same way, the bracha lefanel and the bracha acharela encompass the pnim of the psukei d'zimra, and therefore it's treated, the v'yishtabach, as a bracha asmucha lechaverta idea, and it does not have its own psicha. So what do we say in the Baruch She'amar? With tremendous confidence, we say we're going to do all kinds of things to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And indeed, we have the kelim, we have the koichos, we have the mouth, and we have the language, and particularly because we have the words of David HaMelech. David HaMelech's name is Miras Yisrael, and surely with his words, we will be able to accomplish all the shevach that we need to say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we say, B'shirei David Avdecha, Nihalelcha, Nishabeichecha, Nifaelcha, we will do all of these wonderful things. It's like we're brimming with confidence that we will accomplish this. The Rav points out that, of course, it's an existential impossibility to be able to do that. You cannot encompass the Shvachim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's really a foregone conclusion, but the way we express that it's a foregone conclusion is by making the attempt, by saying Zmiros, and then by saying we've done what we can. The only time, I didn't hear this from the Rav, but I assumed that he would be masking to this. The only time that we've said b'fe mole that we've accomplished our task is by Birchas Kohanim. The Kohen says, Ribbono shel Olam, asinu ma shegazarta aleinu af ato aseh imonu k'mo shehivtachtonu. The Kohen is able to say that very simply because shematoma matoil birchas had yetzeh, he doesn't even have to be anybody. And still his bracha is a bracha. The Rambam is, so what kind of a bracha is that? He's blessing tzaddikim, and he himself is far from a tzaddik. So how could that work? The Torah says, because the bracha comes from Hashem. So what does Hashem want from him? V'ani avarachem, Hashem says. V'som washmi abnei Yisrael. Did they say it? Yes, they said it. Did they say all the words? Yes, they said all the words. Did they say them correctly? The answer is yes. Asinu masha gazar toleinu. I said the words from Yivarechecha till Bashalom. Shalom. Till Shalom. However, when it comes to Psukei D'Zimra, the Rav said, there's no way. So therefore, we start speaking almost in the abstract. Yishtabach Shimcha L'ad Malkeinu. It should be. What do you mean it should be? You should say, we did it. We should have said, Shibachnu Shimcha Malkeinu. But Yishtabach Shimcha L'ad Malkeinu. And then we describe who he is, but we don't say that we accomplished it. And furthermore, when there is an increase in the Psukei D'Zimra, lest we might think that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, maybe we did accomplish it. So we have an increased and enlarged Yishtabach. What do we call that? What do we call the enlarged Yishtabach on Shabbos? Nishmas Kol Chai, of course. Nishmas is the beginning of Yishtabach. And what do we say in Nishmas Kol Chai? Ilu finu mole shira kayom ulshoneinu rina kamon galov ein anachnu maspikim lodos lucha. Which is a paraphrase of the Chazal of ilu kol hayamim diyoy, etc., etc. It's not shayach. So it's interesting, during the week we're maramis to it, but when we say more zmirais, we have to say it more mafurish. So we say, you know, Ribbono Shel Olam, it can't be done. But here you have a very interesting puzzle. You know what the puzzle is? Anybody here that does not say Nishmas? Is there any Masorah that doesn't say Nishmas Kol Chai on Shabbos or Yom Tov? No. So you should tell me, of course, whenever you say Nishmas, you're always troubled by a very, very peculiar, might say, stira, problem that you have with Nishmas, correct? And it doesn't let you sleep, you can't go to make Kiddush, you can't function. Am I right or am I not? What's the problem? The problem is that we're seiser ourselves minayubay. We say it can't be done, and then we say, Alkein evarim shepilakta banu, v'ruachu neshoma shenofachta ba'apenu, hein heim yoidu vivorchu vishapchu vifaru v'yom v'aritzu. Never bothered you? So obviously the answer to that is that what we are saying is that we can't say it, but the Evarim say it. That's what we're saying. You have to know what you're saying. I mean, it's a good idea to know what you're saying. So what does it mean? What does it mean that the Evarim hein heim yodu vivarchu? What does that mean? Like, so fine, so that's what we're saying. Words will not accomplish it. But the Evarim, that's going to do it. That's going to accomplish it. So what I wanted to suggest, apropos to the Tefillah Zakah idea, that central theme of the Tefillah Zakah, is that a person is an instrument. He's an instrument of Avodas Hashem. He is a very sophisticated instrument that has many parts. A one-man band. And he has chalokim, and each chalok is meant to resonate with a certain accomplishment, a certain achievement, just as there are strings in an orchestra, and there's the percussion, and there's the brass. There are chalokim, there are evarim, and each aver has its tafkid, and the tafkid of each aver is to achieve its purpose in Avodah Hashem. To the extent that it does, it fulfills itself. And when the person fulfills himself in his entirety, then he is an orchestral statement of Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, what I'm saying is that in the same way that Ani Timesi Osam is a complete dissonance where either the percussion simply breaks down and the drum is no longer sounds, or the violins are playing completely off key and the whole orchestra is now in disarray. In the same way, lehefech, when everything is exactly what it should be, the entire bria of that person is singing a shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the consistency and the fulfillment of its destiny in Avodas Hashem. It's like Osinu Mashu Gozarta Aleinu. The Eivarim Shepilakta Bonu V'ruach Neshama Shenofachta Benu Hein Heim Yodu. How? How is Hein Heim Yodu? Not with words. But the Evarim don't use words. So what do the Evarim, how do the Evarim speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The answer is, by mitzvahs, by Kedusha, by Tara, by machshavos of Kedusha and Tara, by Divrei Torah. My mind is a mind that has fulfilled itself when I am learning Torah and saying Divrei Torah. The mind is then singing the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want you to understand what I'm driving at has a lot to do with something called Perek Shira. What's this Perek Shira idea? So, you know, what is this animal saying? What is that animal saying? They quote psukim. So what's going on? The animals don't say these psukim. It's in the bria, there's a fulfillment in the bria of the animal being what it's supposed to be, which of course they are naturally because they have their instincts and that's all they need. So the Bria, in a certain sense, resonates. Hashamayim misaprim kvod kelu ma'ase yodov magid orakia. What about a person who has bechira? So then the Bria only resonates when his bechira is fulfilled in the Bechart HaBachayim. And that's al kenei borim shepilak dabonu hein heim yodu vivorchu vishabchu. So the idea of the tefillah zaka is that that the tshuva that a person has to do, it revolves around the idea that I messed up and I killed the orchestra. And the eitzah, of course, is to fix the instruments, get back on track, and start playing the beautiful music again. That's really. But meanwhile, getting away from the machshava shaboy, what did he accomplish? He accomplished that there's a massive amount of pirut hachet. Much more pirut hachet than in the viduyim that we say. As I told you at the beginning, in Oshamdu there's no pirut hachet at all, and in the Al-Chet, where they mention certain chatoyim, it's not really b'toras pirut hachet, because it's not in the statement of akoras hachet, but rather in the statement of bakoshas kapara. By the way, it's interesting. Because it's a bakoshas kapara, we don't say the Al-Chet by ne'ilah. That's an interesting thing. Because the Yitzuma Shoyoy Mechaper, and we allow the kapara of Yom Kippur to do its thing. Kapur of Yom Kippur has happened b'shkiyas hachama, and whether we finished the ne'ilah before, we finished the ne'ilah afterwards, that's not my agenda. Even if we finished the ne'ilah before, we still do not have a bakoshas kapara, because what we're saying is that all the bakoshas kapara has happened, and now we're waiting for the Yitzuma Shel Yom Kippur. That tefillah nosefes, which is ne'ilah, tefillah yisera that Chazal call it, is a tefillah that mentions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a soileach. Not that we need the slicha. We're not asking for it anymore. It's a very interesting thing. It's clear to me that the Chayodim's perspective in general was that even on Yom Kippur itself, you have to have pirut achet. That's why in the Oshamdus he has all of these lists I mentioned before. But Lemaisa, we don't do that. And I'll tell you something else. We don't have the time to do that. And if we did do it, it would seem to me that the vidui that we had would not match the vidui of the Shliach Tzibur. Why is our vidui word for word the same vidui as the Shliach Tzibur? When crystal clear that when a Shliach Tzibur is misvada, he can't be mefarit the chait, because everybody's chait is different. Men's chatoim are different than women's chatoim. Kohanim's chatoim would be different than Levim's or Yisraelim's chatoim. Adult chatoim are different than youngsters' chatoim. They're different. They're just plain different. Married people's chatoim are different than single people's chatoim. Mechateisa. So that's what I wanted to suggest at the very outset, and I'm repeating again. Yom Kippur's idea of the vidui is a vidui which is part of the kaparas Yom HaKippurim. The idea of pirut hachet in that is a machloikas. So you open up Tafresh Zayin and Sif Aleph, and it says in the Mechaber, Ein Tzorich Lifrei Tachet. That's it. He's talking about Yom Kippur. This is the Hilchos Yom HaKippurim. There's no Hilchos Teshuva in the Shulchan Aruch. It's only in the Rambam. Hilchos Tshuva per se does not exist. But if somebody would ask me, so what about Tshuva? So I would say, of course you have to be Mefarat Techeit. How could you be shav on something and you haven't even had the guts to identify what you did wrong? Chatasi, I did a chait. You know, David HaMelech said chatasi and it was forgiven right away. He didn't have to say anything. You know why? Because Nasan HaNavi did all the job for him. When he tells him a whole story about the Shepsala and the rich man and the poor man, and then he says, Ato Ish. So he spelled it out as crystal clear as can be. So he can say Chatasi. He doesn't have Chatasi, what did I do? He already condemned himself. He says, and he's Chayiv Misa. So he says, Ato Ish. But otherwise, if no one has been mefarit to chayta, avada, you have to be mefarit to chayta. I think that's a fundamental yesod in the etzem idea of tshuva. So where is all the pirat achayt? Where did it all go? Get lost. So that's what I wanted to suggest. So it's quite possible to be mechalik, maybe, and maybe that's the accomplishment of tefillah zakah, besides the Ramban per se, that the vidui of Erev Yom Kippur might be different, or might have been perceived differently than the vidui on Yom Kippur itself. From the Gemara, there's no hochacha of that at all. But I'm making it as a suggestion. In other words, what's this whole idea of being Mizvada Erev Yom Kippur altogether? In Kapara, you need Yom Kippur. But some say because Erev Yom Kippur has a din of Yom Kippur, Misiv Shal HaChodesh, Be'erev, Me'erev, Ad'erev, Kalech, V'shreis, Ab'yom HaKippurim, Kilu, Sanachi, V'asiri, it's a din of Yom Tov, etc., etc. So maybe that's Mechayiv Davidui. Other people say because you can't wait for Yom Kippur because there's always this Shuv Yom Echad Lefnei Mitzoscha idea. That's why it's before even the Suda, Shema Yechonik Besuda, or whatever, Shema Yishtaker. But maybe the idea of the Vidui Erev Yom Kippur comes from a different place. Namely, that you have to have, let me say it a little differently, it would be totally absurd for a person to go through a Yom Kippur and keep talking about all of his averos with ever having that essential component of tshuva, which is the pirut hachet in the actual maisa tshuva itself. In other words, you have to come into Yom Kippur and the bakoshas kapora with tshuva already. You can't say, I'll do everything on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, I'll do tshuva, and on Yom Kippur, I'll ask for kapora, and on Yom Kippur, I'll get the kapora Yom Kippurim. A person has to enter Yom Kippur b'tshuva. That's what it means, b'tara. B'tshuva. And tshuva requires pirut achet. The nafkamina halacha l'maisa would be very simple. That even those people who don't have the time or the capacity or whatever it is, that every single time they say vidui or vashamnu, they're going to go through the lists that they made for themselves. And by the way, as much as the generic lists that there are, what kinds of pamphlets now that come out with viduis and extended viduis, and they have lists and lists and lists, and a lot of people benefit from those because at least it gives a verbal expression to some of the things, Rachmana Litzlan, that they didn't do right the rest of the whole year. But nothing ever substituted with a person's own list. And it would be a very strong recommendation, that's what I do myself, that before Yom Kippur before you ever arrive at Yom Kippur, a person should spend one typical Shemona Esrei or one typical moment in private with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, day or night, and say, Ribbono Shel Olam, I have to admit that this is what I did and this is what I did. And how much of a pirut hachet, by the way, you need? What's called pirut is an interesting question. Has not been really analyzed l'chayr well enough. Do I have to specify, is it like by Bezdin, when they ask the Eidus, there's bedikos and chakiros, you have to know the zman and the mokim. You know, that's good for Adam Zoymanim, but otherwise you just have to say the thing itself. Do I have to really spell it out? It would seem to me that to the extent that it's clear what the person did, to that extent it's possible to do a proper tshuva. Each person has to understand that for himself. But for a person to get up and say, you know, I wasn't bechaven properly in brachas, it's okay. But what if a person said a little more than that? Like, for example, many times I said brachas and I didn't even know what I was saying. Many times I said brachas that was so low that nobody could possibly answer amen. Many times I said brachas that if you would play it back on a recorder with software that could, you know, slow it down, instead of being clear, it would sound like jum, 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 and then it would sound like jum, 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 jum. Because I never made the bracha to begin with. I mean, really. Then there's another thing. I made the bracha in front of my children. I say this all the time. I say it to my kehillah over and over again. The very simple, basic point. But it's a yisayda, yisaydas. I made a bracha in front of my children. And I taught them to be apikarsim. I taught them with the brachas that I made not to believe in God. I don't mean that I do that. I'm saying that when people make brachas, that's what happens. Why? Because very pashut. If you really mean what you say, and you really intend to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is real in your life, and he's exactly the creator of everything, and I acknowledge that, And furthermore, if I really believe the Chazal that says that I am not entitled to eat this until I acknowledge the Master and Creator, because it's Kilu Goizel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Knesset Yisrael, so then how could I make a bracha like blah, 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 and in an undertone? And, you know, I once was in somebody's house and they were benching. It was during the weekday. They were benching. I came, I had to speak to them about something, but they were in the middle of benching, so I waited. In the middle of benching, the man gets a text. It's not mafsik. Not mafsik b'dibur. They whips out his phone. The phone, you know, buzzes or whatever it does, and tells you there's a text. Somehow the phone manages to communicate that fact to him, and he takes out the phone, he looks at the phone, and starts answering. And then he continues with his benching. I have no doubt that if the children were there, they would think that the man is clearly considering the benching as a perfunctory, pro forma necessity, because that's what his religion requires, and that the Ribbono Shel Olam does not exist in his life at all. So when a person's mizvada, what's he really saying is much more than I didn't make the bracha. Or a person, because he's absent-minded, and this happens to everybody, by me it's a very big nisayin, I am super absent-minded. Ribbono Shel Olam made people all kinds of kishreinus and all kinds of koiches. I happen to be very absent-minded. You know, if I take my medicine, I go up to the shelf to take my medicine. Meanwhile, I'm thinking about a Rambam, hopefully, and or whatever it is that's on my mind. And I turn around before I get to the shelf, and I go back, and then I say to myself, you know what? I didn't take my medicine, so I go back to the shelf again. This could happen 3 or 4 times. So there's a very big nisayon when you have to make a bracha achrona. It is. So I know that it's an nisayon for me. I simply may forget that I ate altogether. So I have to be conscious, and I have to be dwelling upon it, and kuli haivu ulai, and hopefully I'm matzliach. But the point is that when a person's mefarik the chait, I think it's important that a person should understand the ramifications, the poil yoitzes. You know, we say kilo chala am bishgoga. So the great Dubna Magadi has this incredible mushal that he says, which is really a powerful mushal. He says there was a gvir adir who decided to build himself a palace, and in the center of this ballroom that he made in the middle of his house, he had this unbelievably expensive chandelier, millions and millions of dollars of crystal and gold and silver and all kinds of diamonds. But he had to anchor it, and it's massive, so it has to be anchored from the roof. But he's not Stam a person, he's a Gvir Adir. So he has to show off, he has to flaunt his riches. So he, instead of, you know, steel bars that hold it from the roof, he used gold bars. Now this Ganav comes, and he sees in the middle of the night this gold glistening, you know, on the roof. And he says, there's a piece of cake, there's nobody here. So he scampers up on the roof with his crowbar and he starts prying off one piece of gold after another. And of course the gold, unbeknownst to him, is holding up the chandelier. After the third bar was pried off, there was this huge crash and he's caught and he's brought in front of the judge, and the judge wants to throw him in jail for the rest of his life. He did a horrible thing. He said, what did I do? 4 gold bars. What? He said, 4 gold bars? You destroyed a chandelier of millions and millions of dollars. Says the Dubna Magid, what's the pshat kilo chalom bishgoga? We do something, but we don't at all appreciate the ramifications of it on any level. In the Olam HaSol Yonim, the person doesn't have Avera, he destroys, he makes a tear in the fabric of the cosmos. So do we know that? Do we feel it? Does it make any difference to us? Not to mention all the other things. Do I know that when I don't make a bracha properly, that the people who are watching have a little bit of a diminished sense of the Ribbono Shel Olam in their lives? Do I know that when I said something, do I know how much I hurt the person and the ramifications of that? You know, there's a Rosh Yeshiva that once came from back to Eretz Yisrael from a fundraising trip. And came back to his family, to his yeshiva. He was away for weeks. And he said the following. He said that it's very possible that a Rosh Yeshiva is a rotzeach b'shagoga, because he didn't treat a certain Talmud properly, or because he said certain things that made the Talmud lose his sense of his own worth and his own capacity in learning, and on and on and on. So for a tzeich b'shoigeg, you have to go into golus. And that's why he has to leave Eretz Yisrael and his family and go fundraising in America, because he's a Rotzeach B'Shogeg. So a person, that's Kiluch Olam B'Shgoga. No one intends to be a Rotzeach B'Shogeg. But the fact of the matter is that when a person does tshuva, he has to understand the possibility of those ramifications. And the same thing with everything else. You know, the Vilna Gaon has an incredible idea. He says that you break a glass, where? Under the chuppah. When do you break the plate? By the tznayim. Why? He says, because glass, when you break it, you are able to smelt it, you're able to reshape it. Cheres, once you break it, it's just a bunch of broken pottery. There's nothing you can do. So what's the implications of that? He says, when you get married, the Torah gave you a mechanism to undo the marriage. The Torah did not give you a mechanism to undo your promises. He gave you a word. So what about Nedarim? You know, Nedarim, you can't be matan Nedarim by Shaduchim. You agreed to get married. Everybody's expecting. The Kala wants it. The Chosson wants it. What do you mean you broke it off? It's an incredible idea. Does the Gaon mean that you should nevertheless get married even though you don't want to? And then if necessary, get divorced? I don't know. But that's the vart that they say in the name of the Gra. What's my point? My point is a person breaks their Shidduch, you don't have the beginning of an understanding of what the ramifications of it is. Somebody asks you to read a Shidduch, and you got lazy. Unbelievable. The ramifications of that could be enormous, and you'll never know. Maybe. So you say, no, if it was Bashet, somebody else would read the Shidduch. No, it doesn't go like that. And so on and so forth. There's just no limit. I think in the Hakaras HaChet, the Pirut HaChet creates a much greater Hakaras HaChet. And the Hakaras HaChet is essential to the whole Inyan of Tshuva, because you have to know what you're doing Tshuva for. What was the Chet? What was it? And sometimes the chait is much more and much more elaborate and much more complex. So in any case, that I believe is the yesod of the tefillah zakah idea, Erev Yom Kippur. That Erev Yom Kippur, there's a need for pirut hachait, because the tshuva of Erev Yom Kippur is regular tshuva. And when you enter in Yom Kippur with bakoshas kapora, you're not going to do the tshuva b'shas bakoshas kapora. And that's why there is taken no need to be mefarik the chait on Yom Kippur itself. And that's why the vidui of the yochid matches word for word the vidui of the tzibur. And what I'm suggesting is that all those pamphlets that have all those lists are not as necessary on Yom Kippur as they are necessary b'shas the aveira and before Yom Kippur begins. This is the vart, the Torah, that I wanted to suggest to you. Meanwhile, just to repeat what I said, Benageya Al Kane Varim Shepilak Dabanu, the basic theme of the Vidui called Filazaka is that I have my Evarim on loan, my brain is on loan, my mouth is on loan, and it's on loan to do the right thing. And to the extent that I failed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have created a damage, a pshia, in the Evarim that I borrowed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the same way that my life is not my own to take, my Evarim are not my own to do anything but Ratzon HaBayre. On the contrary, when I do the Ratzon HaBayre, I like to think positive, when I do fulfill the Ratzon HaBayre, then they are the only songs that are possible to be Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Machsim Toivo, Shnas Chaim V'Sholom, Shav tremendous Hatzlocha in your learning, in your Avodas Hashem, in your studies. The study shouldn't be Mafriya you, so that you should be able to learn. And you should make this place a Makom Kaddish. Punter from an email.
I forgot this video.
I'm saying it.